I get to preach today on one of my favorite verses. Some of my email accounts actually have this verse at the bottom of it. So, but first, I want to talk to you about a psychologist. There was a psychologist who asked 3,000 people, I think it was, 3,000 people, what do you have to live for? In other words, the psychologist was saying, what is the purpose of your life? And the psychologist was shocked because 94% said that they were just enduring the present, waiting for the future. They would describe this as waiting for something to happen next, whether they were waiting for their children to grow up and leave home, or whether they were waiting to retire, waiting for that next vacation, waiting for tomorrow. And as I thought about that, I thought, man, that's sad. How sad it is to live your life in such a way that there's no purpose except for what's coming next. Because that's not the way God intended it. I know in John, Jesus says, you know, the thief comes to steal and destroy, and that he came, Jesus came, that they may have life and have it abundantly. So living for the next moment's not what Jesus is talking about here. So I started thinking about, what is our purpose? Why are we here? Why are we as believers, and why are we put on this earth? And of course, it brings me back to my favorite verse. So I'm going to ask that you stand as we turn to Ephesians 2:10. Great. And this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he writes to them, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Precious Father, Lord, I pray that your word never returns void. May it open our hearts to the message that you want us to hear. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to break this down for you, and what I have interpreted, what I've thought and prayed about when it comes to this verse. And we begin with, for we are his workmanship. This term workmanship reminds me, it gives me this idea of a completed work. For we are his workmanship. We are created. It's kind of like a sculptor who finishes a piece. He's done. It's got everything it needs. But it also has this idea that we have great value in God's eyes. See, if you look in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31, it is not until God has created man that he changes what he says about it. If you look at when he creates the light, when he creates the water, he says, God looks at everything that he sees that he's made, and he says it is what? Good. But when he creates man in verse 131, it says, and God saw everything he had made, and it was very good. When God created man, he said it was very good. There is value in man. So we've got this idea of a completed work, and we have this idea of value. Now, God is a master craftsman, and he values his creation. You have value. This world will tell you at times you don't have value. But God says, I value you. You are worth something. No matter what blemishes you have, God still values you. But to really appreciate this, we have to know what God has made us from. And that is why this verse begins with for. Whenever you see the word for at the beginning of the verse, it means it's tying it back to previous verses. So you need to make sure you go back and you read those previous verses. So we're going to go back just a little bit to Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And here's what Paul says. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We are dead. What do you do with something that's dead? You bury it. Okay? You get rid of it. But you are dead in your transgressions and sins. It's of no value. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Now remember what I said a little bit ago, that the thief comes to steal and destroy? Same thief, same person that Paul was talking about here. The ruler of this kingdom of the air. This is his world. If we follow this, we are dead in our transgressions. We are dead in our sins. The Spirit who is not at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them. We were just like them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. All right, I think we'll just leave them off for a little while. We were objects of wrath. We were sinners. We were just like everybody else in the world. We were just like those who are out in the world. We've been there. We've been there. That's where we've come from. But God has taken us. He has created into us something that's a workmanship, that's a value, that's complete. My favorite program used to be, and I used to watch this all the time, was a program called Junkyard Wars. You guys remember Junkyard Wars? You would get two experts and at least three gearheads who had, they could at least probably, you know, weld, use a wrench. They knew kind of what they were doing. But they would have to go into this junkyard and they'd have to pick out all these parts and throw them together and have something that they had to do with it. Whether it was, they had to do a mud buggy, I know, I remember that one. They had to do a catapult. They had to shoot an ostrich egg, all kinds of stuff. And I always like to watch that show because I could do some of that. But I'd like to see what they thought up and the ways they thought to do it. And they would go out and they'd scavenge in this junkyard. Now, sometimes their items were a success. They actually did what they were supposed to do. Other times, not so much. They'd start to do it and they'd break down. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I know that the junkyard was made up. I mean, they didn't go to a junkyard here in town, you know, and start scavenging stuff. This was stuff that was placed. So it was kind of contrived. But at the same time, it was still junk. It was still junk. So I shouldn't be surprised. What should I expect if it's junk? But, you know, the world will try to tell you that that's you. You're that junk. And you're never going to amount to anything. Or you're going to struggle and it's going to be hard. And yes, it is going to be hard. But the thing is because these guys started out with a plan. They'd write on a board what the plan was. And then they'd work it through. And sometimes it would work. And though we may seem to be junk, we're created for so much more than that. So much more. And Paul goes in there. He tells us right here, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, this is how God has completed us. He completed us in Christ on the cross. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? It is what? Finished. Now, if we are complete, we have everything we need in order to fulfill our purpose. That doesn't mean we don't continue to grow, and I want to make sure you understand this. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm a believer and I have nothing else to do, that I don't have to grow anymore. What I am saying is, when you become a believer in Christ, you have everything you need to complete the work that God has given you, which is to make disciples. God is always working on us, always. He brings us up into maturity, shaping our hearts, growing our faith. That's always happening. I mean, we see that in Samuel. He continued to grow in stature. We see that in Peter when he says, grow in grace and knowledge. The writer of Hebrews, which, by the way, I believe is Paul, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. So we're always growing. But I believe when Paul declares, for we are God's workmanship, that God's workmanship is not an ongoing process. I believe that it is a completed work that God has done in you. Even though you are, in a sense, called to grow in grace, in another sense, we are complete. And the reason why I say that is, if I came to somebody who was a non-believer and I led them to Christ, what's to keep them from going to their friend and leading that person to Christ? Nothing. They can do it. Okay? Now, they don't need to go to a class to do it. They can go right away and go do it. In fact, you find that in Scripture. You know, when Jesus would heal somebody, they would just go and tell everybody. You know, what happened to the woman at the well? What did she do? She didn't have to go through a class. She was at the well. Jesus told her about herself. What did she? She went to the town. She went right to the town. She started telling him, "This, come see this man. He knows everything about me." And many people came to Christ because of her. So that's the completeness. We still have work to do. I mean, God, believe me, God's still working on me a lot. But that doesn't stop me from doing the work that God has created me to do. But first, the first thing that needs to happen is we need to be made new. We need to be made new before we can do good works. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The old, the transgressions, living in our sin, following the things of the world, that's gone. That's done. We need to overcome that. We need to put it aside. As Paul said, we need to put to death our sin nature because the new has come. God has created us in Christ. My kids love to play with Play-Doh. My father-in-law loves to play with Play-Doh. He does some amazing, I mean, I got pictures of amazing things he makes with Play-Doh. You know, I can make some snakes, you know, cue balls, you know. But he does Star Wars things with Play-Doh. Amazing. Talk about a workmanship. That's what that is. But see, when you play with Play-Doh and you've created something and you want to create something else, what do? You punch it together. You make it new. You have to make it new. You take it out of the shape it's in and you create something new out of it. See, when we believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation, when we give our hearts to God, we become a new creation. We're remade. Sometimes it feels like he's pressing us hard, but that's part of being a craftsman. But we're remade. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves good enough to do good works. Did you know that? There's nothing you can do by yourself to make yourself good enough to do good works. We cannot do good works on our own. So God creates us new in Christ. Now, I've had people argue with me with, well, what about like people like philanthropists? What about Bill Gates and all these? Are they doing good works? Maybe. Who's getting the glory? They are. The good works we do, the glory goes to God. And we'll talk about why that is here in a few minutes. But we cannot do good works on our own. So God creates us new in Christ. So what kind of works do we got? What are these kind of works that God has for us? It doesn't say that these are big works. It doesn't mean that we're going to go out there and we're going to do huge works. It says they're what kind of works? Good. Say good. Good. Thank you. I know you're awake then. They're not easy works. It doesn't say in here that, you know, he's created us for easy works. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. Because we're in a world where the world is basically following Satan, following the spirit of this world. And there's going to be troubles. There's going to be roadblocks put up in front of us. But Jesus says, I've overcome the world. So it's fine. We can do this. We'll work this. But they're not going to be easy. He doesn't promise us that there'll be great works. Not everyone will see them. I used to have a friend who we were downtown and we were leaving to go someplace. It was snowy. And we were actually on Harrison. And Harrison and Wayne Street, which is a pretty busy street downtown during the day because of all the businesses down there. And there was an elderly lady standing on the side of the road. He stopped his car in the middle of the road, got out and walked her across the street. Now, that's not going to hit the news. That's not going to be something that everybody remembers. She'll probably remember. I'll always remember. But God doesn't promise us that our works will be great for everyone to see. Not all of them. Some of them will be, but not all of them. But he tells us that they are good works. Because see, good works flow from what God does in us rather than God's work flowing from our works. Let me explain that again. Good works flow from what God is doing inside of us, not from what we are doing. Okay? It's Him working inside of us to do these good works. So we should never pray, God, bless what I'm doing. We should always pray, God, help me to do what you're blessing. We should never pray for God to bless what we're doing. We should always pray that we're doing what God is blessing. Because it says that He's remade us in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now those good works, there's a purpose behind them, like I said. The purpose is to bring God glory. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to" who? "Your Father who is in heaven." We don't do works so that we are glorified, so that we feel better about ourselves. We don't do good works so that we get all the commendations and people look up to us. We do good works because we want to glorify Him. We want to glorify Him. That's the purpose of the good works, is to bring God glory and not us glory. So where do these good works come from? What is the source of these? What makes us able to do these good works? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Let me break this down. See, God can give you grace. He gives us grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. You don't deserve grace. I don't deserve grace. God gives it to us freely. It's grace that abounds in us. And that grace allows us to have everything we need. It says, all sufficiency in all things at all times. It is God's grace that gives you everything you need through every moment in your life. Can you imagine? There are things I've been through in my life. I can't imagine walking through them without God, without His grace, without knowing that He loves me so much that He sent His Son. His grace allows me to have everything I need in order to abound in every good work. Abound. To be full of every good work. See, God is working. You know, I don't know about you. Sometimes I look at the world and I think, man, is God really still working in this world? Yes. He is. He's constantly at work. And what He wants us to do, He wants us to join with Him. You remember me when I was talking during the before the offering, I was talking how God, when we are in trouble, He steps down and He walks with us, okay, through our troubles and through our trials. He wants us, He is out there doing good works. God is working in this world. He just wants us to step into that with Him and do it with Him. He's prepared it. We'll get to that in a second. He's prepared it. We just need to do it. Because it says, God prepared beforehand. Junkyard Wars. When they go to build their projects, they don't just go out immediately out into the field and start picking out stuff to build stuff with, to build their machines with. They sit and they plan out, okay, we're going to need to do this, we're going to need to do that, we need these five things, you know, and then we're going to need to do this, 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 and this. God plans out for you what He wants you to do through your whole life. God's a planner. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He is a planner. He has laid out a plan and a path for your life and for mine. And He does that, why? Because He cares. If I want Caleb to go do something, we are struggling with this a little bit. At nighttime, we say, Caleb, you need to go do this. We can say, Caleb, you need to go get ready for bed. And we let him go. And he goes sometimes. Now, His idea of getting ready for bed and our idea of getting ready for bed are two different things. Completely. So what Beth usually has to do, she'll say, okay, I want you to do this, then I want you to do that, and then I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. She plans it out for him. He doesn't always do it. Sometimes we get up there and he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But we've planned out for him what he is supposed to do. That's God. That's God working with us. God has set a plan in place for you for your life. And he wants you to follow that plan. Because God is good. God is very detail-oriented. Look at the flower. Look at a flower. Look at the detail in a flower. Study any of the sciences. You'll see how detail-oriented God is and how he plans it out. God did not create this world haphazardly. That's why it's amazing that I think that people can believe that you can take a bunch of, if you take a bunch of things and push them together, and you just shake them together, and then you let them go, that it'll become something. That's what evolution will have you believe, that everything just comes together, and somehow it just happens, and it becomes us. Take a clock, and you take all the pieces of a clock and throw it in a bag and shake it up. It's not going to become a clock. God is a planner. Every day that in creation, when he created something, was part of his plan. It happened on that day for a reason. He's a planner. And he plans these things so that we should walk in them. And I love this, that we are to walk in them. It's not, this idea is not just a haphazard, hey, where are we going? No, it's a habitual lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that is what God wants it to be. See, how we walk is so important. How we are walking is so important. We go back to Psalm 1. The whole book at the beginning of the Psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Think about this. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of in the counsel of the wicked. So I'm not walking in the counsel of the wicked, because when I'm walking in the counsel of the wicked, all of a sudden I'm going to have a tendency to sit or to stand, actually to stand in the way of sinners, because it's interesting to me, okay? I'm walking in the way of the world, and then I stand, and then what do? I sit. I get ingrained in it. But his delight, when we don't walk in that way, our delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Why? Because he planned it out. He laid the plan for them to walk in. But the way of the wicked will perish, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. How you walk is important. And how you walk, not just in these four walls, but how you walk when you walk out that door. See, there seems to be sometimes some issues with believers in the world. The world looks at believers and say, believers in Christ, and say, oh, wait a minute, you're not walking like you say you're living. You're not walking the walk and talking the talk. We can't spend an hour in here and expect that to change our lives. Our walk doesn't stop at the door. Our walk continues out the door. It continues through our whole life. It continues through all the additional hours in our week. It's a choice we make. I make a choice to walk the way I walk and where I walk. Sometimes I don't make the right choice. But the thing is, I'm free to walk in the way God has prepared. He has prepared it beforehand for me to walk in it. And he has prepared me to do the works that he has already planned for me. I have to think, I wish God had email, first of all. I do. And that he would just allow me to email, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? What should I do today? Should I go this route or should I go that route? And then have him respond to me, hopefully soon, not 24 hours later, you know. Because sometimes when I think I'm walking with God, when I'm walking in my life, I have those moments that I say, I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do with this? Now, God is always there, and he's always talking to me and telling me, the problem's not God. The problem is me. The problem is that God is always walking with me. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. He's everywhere. And he's right here with me. And if I don't hear him, it's not because he's not talking to me. It's because I'm not listening to him. Because remember what we talked about, where we came from. I'm struggling. I fight with overcoming that. Even as a believer for so many years that I've been, it's still hard. It never goes away. You're constantly fighting that sinful nature. We talk about this whole idea of what's called sanctification. I believe in total sanctification. It'll happen when I die. And that's when total rectification happens. Between now and then, I will never be perfect. I will never have it all figured out. So I walk, and God walks with me, and he talks to me, and I listen to him. And there are times I get off the path, and I don't listen to him. But I have to think about these good works he's planned. I got to be aware of the good works he's planned for me. That good work may be the elderly lady crossing the street. It may be just a card I drop in the mail to somebody. It may be taking food to somebody. It may be praying with someone. It may be becoming a missionary. I don't know what works God has planned for me. But I have to walk in them. I have to listen to him. They're good works to God's plan. I don't have to work to earn anything. Because in reality, I can't. I can do a lot. There's a lot that I know how to do. And I attribute that to God. I attribute it to my parents and my father and teaching me how to do things. But all those things are worthless if I don't do them in Christ. Because if I do them myself, if there are things I'm doing by myself, then I can boast about it because it's me doing them. But when God is working through me and I'm walking in his path that he's laid before me, I can't boast. But I do good works because that is what he made me to do. And that is what he made you to do. He has made us to do good works. So we need to press on. We press on towards the prize. And according to Paul, the prize is Christ Jesus himself. He is my only reward. And we carry the great commandment. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. We carry that with us. We carry with us our goal, to love him. And then we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We carry the great commandment. We take up the great commission, which is to go and make what? Disciples. So you better understand what a disciple is before you go and try to make one. You better have that board planned out. You know, in Junkyard Wars, if they decided they were going to make one thing and then they thought they were making something else, there's going to be a problem. If they're trying to make an egg launcher and they end up making a battering ram, I don't think it's going to work. So know what a disciple is. And we'll talk about that sometime. But making disciples of all nations and baptizing them and teaching them to obey. Ooh, hate that word. Obey. To obey everything. Because it's so final. We are to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. I carry with me my personal mission. My personal mission is to know Jesus more than anything and to love him and be close to him. So I carry that with me as I'm walking. and allowing his life to be formed inside of me, becoming more like Christ every day. And in that process, my goal, my personal mission is to help others do the same, to walk alongside them, to disciple them. And how do we succeed? How do we succeed in doing these good works that God has planned for us? It is only by the grace of God, the source of the good works, the grace, and only by me surrendering my life to God on a daily basis. And sometimes, some days, on a moment-by-moment basis. Because God is the head of everything. He is the head of my life. He is the head of the church. So I need to surrender myself to him because God made me out of junk. The junk of this world. God made me, and he made me at the cross. He made me in Christ to be something new, to do good works that, number one, he planned out for me, that he wants me to walk in step by step with him. And he does those good works through me. The question is, are you going to walk with me? You want to walk with me? Walk with me, and I'll walk with you. And Christ walks with both of us. I'm going to ask the team to come forward. The only way you're going to know what God has planned for you is to be in a relationship with him. And like any relationship, there are going to be rough patches. That's okay. God understands. Remember, the first people he created did exactly what they weren't supposed to do, what he told them not to do. He knows. He knows how we are. He knows us better than we know ourselves. As we sing this last song, if you're not on the path God wants you to be on, please pray that God will lead you back to that path. And if you need prayer, come to me. I'm more than happy to pray with you. If you need help on that path, if you need help walking that path, please see me. I'm more than happy to walk it with you. And I know there are people in this church who would love to walk the path with you. There are two altars over here. Those are always open. If you need to do business with God to get back on the path he's leading, he wants nothing more than for you to walk with you and to love you and to show you so many amazing things. And I don't care if you're 12 or if you're 90. He still has a plan for you. You're not done. You're not done. He's not done with you. If he was done with you, you wouldn't be here. That's the truth. If God was done with you, you would not be here. He has a plan for you. He just wants us to listen to him and walk in it. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you today for your word. Lord, I just ask that as we are walking down the paths in our lives that lead us to places we think we need to go, help us, Father, to listen to your heart, to read your word, to pray, to spend time with you so that we know the path we're on is right. Lord, you have good works planned for us. Give us courage to see them and to do them, and for you to do them through us. Help us to put aside the sins and transgressions, the things of this world that bog us down. I was just reading this morning, Lord, about taking a personal inventory of the things we do. How much time do we spend in front of the TV? What are we watching? Is it glorifying to you? And I'm not passing judgment, Lord, because I'm, as Paul says, I'm the greatest sinner of all. But there are things we need to put aside. Are we spending more time with you, or are we spending more time with things of this world? That's a personal thing that each of us needs to decide, Lord. But I ask you, mold our hearts Bend us to the ways you want us to be. Lead us down paths of your righteousness. Give us strength to do your will, so that we may bring you glory and honor and praise. And all God's people said, amen.